Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of the Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival?
Okay. So Erie Canal.
Yeah.
I've obviously heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Erie. It's a haunted canal.
Welcome
to the Erie Canal. You know, so it's like Erie, and then would you call it a soda pop festival?
Yeah, it also goes by the name of Bull Island.
Stop! You're just making stuff. What is this? Is this the first Fire Fest?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah. This is the Fire Fest long before Fire Fest. This is the Fire Fest before the Fire Fest guy was even born.
Really?
Yeah, it was Labor Day.
This is Billy McFarland's grandpa.
I wish you were related. I'm going to do a 23andMe.
There's 400,000 people here. We are a new town.
And build like this giant bonfire of catering trucks.
You know what's eerie about Bull Island? Is that it's haunted by a bull. Cover your eyes, kids. That girl's got her pits out.
Things I learned last night. Tilling it.
So is this really like a fire fest? Like where it was like just planned a big thing and it just fell apart?
1972, the Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival was the Fire Fest before Fire Fest.
The Fire Fest of the 70s.
The Fire Fest of the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Ja Rule was still there, though.
Ja Rule, he was an early investor.
Yeah.
It was actually his first investment.
Well, you think you would learn his lesson, but...
Yeah. But 50 years later, he said, I'm going to try this again.
It's 50 years. I still look pretty young.
So this was a festival founded by a guy named Tom Duncan and Bob Alexander. Tom and Bob.
Bob and Tom,
which sounds like your stereotypical stoner duo who's going to screw something up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened, actually. So it works out perfectly. It happened in Griffin, Indiana. Here's a little backstory on this.
Okay.
So the 70s, the early 70s, they were this magical era of the birth of the festival, the music festival.
Yeah.
It hadn't happened before this. Woodstock kind of opened the doors and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this
really?
Nobody had ever really done music festivals like that before. There was big concerts, but there was never this multi-day event where there was 70 best artists of all time.
Okay, yeah.
Tell me about it.
The Billy Graham revivals.
Oh my gosh.
In like the 40s and 50s. This guy's been doing, Billy Graham was doing Winter Jam before...
I hate that.
Billy Graham, Winter Jam. Come on. And the Newsboys were opening for him.
They still had the drum thing in the 40s.
Yeah.
They
did the drum. And Michael Tate was also still there somehow.
It was a relatively new thing.
Okay.
And seeing the success.
So did Woodstock catapult people into doing festivals then?
Kinda. So people saw the success of Woodstock.
Will do this.
And then all these local promoters, which even promoters was
promoters,
like,
promoters. Yeah. No, you thought you were gonna get past it, but yeah, I got you.
Okay. Promoters.
We don't even need brick and mortar buildings anymore.
We got brick and promoters. So the promoters all across the country saw Woodstock and they said, hey,
we can
this looks fun and like it could make a lot of money. So I'm going to try it in my town. And so that's exactly what happened. A bunch of these like small town promoters were like, I'm going to put together a Woodstock in my own town. And most of them were like relatively unassuming. Okay. Like they had a few thousand people show up and it was like a fun time, whatever, you know, not a big deal. Well, these two guys, Tom Duncan and Bob Alexander, they figured, hey, we've been doing this for a while.
We've been promoting a lot of stuff. They've been, all right. we kind of know what we're doing out here.
Yeah, they're like, we're professionals, sort of.
Professionals, yeah. And we're out here, professional promoters. We can throw out a festival.
All right.
We should get a few propane tanks.
Okay. I'm getting over this already. So
the idea is as old as time. You know, festivals have been around for a long time. The ancient Greece, ancient Gershonians did it.
Gershonians.
I was just trying to be as Tim as possible, which also your name's not Tim anymore to me.
Yeah.
There was a YouTube comment today. I don't know if you saw this, Alex. There was a YouTube comment today that quoted Tim, that had a quotes, and then instead of putting his name, put the guy that's not Jaren. And I think that's hilarious. Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm sorry that people know who I am. You know, I apologize that I'm, you know, I'm the face of this.
Yeah, I don't care, whatever. It's
I had a moment like that, though.
What?
A guy commented on one of Reagan's Instagram pictures yesterday. She posted a picture, and a guy commented and said, are you still with that guy?
And that's what, like, you get for all the are you still with that girl jokes you make.
Are you still with that girl, though?
Shut up.
No, I was like, okay. I'm still with that. Anyway.
All right, can I tell you about this now?
Wow.
So these promoters, they had recently done a pretty big festival in Indiana, in a small town in Indiana.
Okay.
And it
went well.
Well, I mean, the festival went well, but to the local community, it went very poorly, because what happened was a bunch of young music fans came, which in the 70s meant they were hippies and meant that they were doing drugs. And the presence of drug users.
Generalization, but okay.
Okay. But the presence of drug users in their town ruined their lives for these people in Indiana because they existed and they were close
because
to them.
Because they saw them and they were like,
yeah. Yeah. So the local Indiana.
Not because it created addicts in the town.
No,
like,
yeah,
whatever.
Literally nothing happened. They just
saw them and they were like, those people exist.
Yeah. And it was an outrage for the locals.
Oh, yeah. They protested the festival, obviously.
Yeah. And so, sidebar, that first festival they called the Ice Cream Social, which I just
sounds there's like a just pretty something, cool event.
There's just something about that era where they just came up with lame names for stuff, you know?
Ice Cream Social?
Yeah, like you're gonna, I don't know, anything that ends with social is something you don't want to go to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like what the youth groups are doing, like the weird youth group in town, you know?
It's like, hey,
you want to come to my ice cream social at my youth group? And
so why didn't people go to your youth group when you were a youth pastor? Because you never used the word social in your events, but people still didn't show up. Why is that?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, if you're blaming it on the name, you know,
whatever. All
you
right,
couldn't grow a youth group.
All right, I'm done with this.
Maybe if you were better at promoting it.
They threw this festival and Indiana was like, we wish you weren't around. We wish you just didn't come. So they told them, you can't do that again. And they were
like, is this in the same area?
Yeah. So it's like southern Indiana. So then they picked a location a little outside of that town, a town called Chandler, Indiana, to book their next big festival. So this was kind of, the first one was kind of like their.
I thought the towns would enjoy a festival because it does bring in a lot of business.
Yeah, unless that business is people that you don't like. And that was the problem, is they didn't like the hippies because they didn't understand.
That's why people are opposed to Starbucks coming up in some towns. They're like, it's going to bring a bunch of hairy armpit liberals around here.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to see their pits.
What?
So they blocked them.
Cover your eyes, kids. That girl's got her pits out. I'll be honest, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it till it came out my mouth.
Okay, so.
Okay, so.
So whoops. Tom and Bob, after their...
You know that the Bob and Tom is like a radio show.
It's not them.
But also, you know that you say names in alphabetical order.
Not this time.
So you can't keep saying Tom and Bob.
I think it sounds better, Tom and Bob.
Does it? How does it go?
Tom and Bob.
Because I guess you say Tom and Jerry, and that's not in alphabetical order. How do you decide which name goes first? How did you and Bree decide? This is a real question.
What do you mean?
When you and Bree talk about us...
Yeah.
How do you refer to me and Reagan?
You and Reagan?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're like, hey, should we invite? Well, you guys never say that. That was a really good dig. That was good.
I think it depends on the context. Like, if it's a story featuring Jaren and Reagan's the ancillary, then it's Jaren and Reagan. But if it's a story...
Look at your vocabulary. Look at you just bringing out ancillary. Oh, can't freaking say half the words in the English language, but you're pulling that out your butt, aren't you? Jeez.
I think it's context. It's context is key. All right, we need to talk about this freaking festival.
I understand we're doing it, but I'm just trying to figure out. So Tom and Bob are going to put on this festival. They approach another town. Now, does the other town know the other town was pissed?
Yeah, so after this...
The other town was like, word spread.
Word started to spread, but it's spreading slowly. It's the 70s. These things spread slow.
So word's spreading, but it's kind of... It's slow.
But yeah, but it's spreading slowly. And so they book... their Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival, bit of a mouthful.
For Griffin.
For Chandler, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
For Chandler, Indiana. And they were going to, it was going to be at this racetrack in Chandler, Indiana.
Okay.
And so they started putting all this resource into it, investing in it, building porta potties, building locations for food, clearing out spaces for tents and parking. Like they were investing in making this an event.
And all of this is happening. So what's the timeline for throwing a festival? How much time do you need to set up?
I don't know. I actually don't know what the timeline is. Because
if they're
them.
Setting up already, you're saying they're putting porta potties up, they're doing all that stuff. That means that they are gearing up for the festival.
Yeah, it was a little different back then because I don't think there was porta potties as we think of them. Like they're like outhouses.
They're building.
So they're building. Yeah. So I mean, it's probably a couple months out at this point.
Really?
Yeah, it's not.
You got to plan a whole festival months out.
Yeah.
Do you have to do that now?
Yeah, I think people who are booking festivals.
I mean, you're booking the talent and stuff, but I mean, like, as far as like setting, I'm saying like actual setup.
Yeah, setup is probably.
When do you think crew rolls in for Coachella?
Probably like a week or two out. Okay. Nowadays. Okay. But like.
But it's the 70s.
Yeah, it's the 70s, so they're just slower at everything. They don't have power tools.
And it's Indiana.
Yeah, like
you got to spend half your day being like, "What are we doing here again?" And you're like, it's a festival. Okay, okay. I was just wondering what I'm supposed to tell my mom when I go home. Don't know what that is.
Yeah, anybody got a dictionary? So
what's the ancillary here? Go ahead.
So they start.
So they're setting up. Yeah,
and then word gets to the government of Chandler of what happened at the Freedom Festival and Ice Cream Social. That's the full name.
Freedom Festival and Ice Cream Social?
Yeah.
All right. See, I see now.
They seem like two very different events.
Yeah.
which did not go great. And they Chandler was like, oh, you guys are planning something bigger. So you're going to bring a lot more of undesirable peoples to our town.
Undesirable peoples.
So Chandler, after a couple court battles with them, they ended up being like, yeah, you can't do the festival here. And they had already invested all this into putting the festival there. So they start rapidly trying to find a new location. But now word is spreading faster to all the surrounding counties. And all the counties are like, no, can't do that here. You're not going to do that here. We don't want you here.
And so, it was primarily because of the type of people that festivals attract.
I mean, it wasn't just that. I mean, you've been to a festival. It's a mess.
It gets pretty trash.
It's a it's kind of trashy. Yeah. Like, things get messed up. It's dirty. And there is, like, a bit of a crime problem. There is the revenue that comes from the tourism, but it's like a one-weekend thing, and then you're just kind of left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a little of both of that, the mess that it brings and the people that it brings. And so pretty much all of southern Indiana blocked them from putting on this festival. And at this point, Tom and Bob had invested $700,000 in 1972 into this event. So they're like, this has to happen. And they're like, we've sold 55,000 tickets. We've invested $700,000. Wow. They were like, this event has to happen.
Who were the main acts going to be?
So this, so the lineup was pretty amazing. They had, here's some highlights. Black Sabbath, Joe Cocker, Allman Brothers, Cheech and Chong, Fleetwood Mac. Let's see. Here's The Doors, The Eagles.
Oh, okay.
It was a massive show. There's like hundreds of artists on this lineup.
Yeah.
And they're some of the biggest names at the time. Are in this lineup. So it was going to be, a massive, massive event.
Yeah.
And so they're spending all this time and energy trying to figure out, okay, where the heck are we going to put this festival? We cannot not do it because we've basically...
And also, if you sold 55,000 tickets already.
Yeah. Yeah, you sold 55,000.
How are you rolling up to a town and being like...
Yeah.
Excuse us.
Hey, can 55,000 people come here? So what they did is they got cheeky. They found this spot that sits right on the border of Indiana and Illinois. It's called Bull Island. And it's a strange sort of geographical anomaly because over time, this the Illinois-Indiana border was separated by the Wabash River. Mm-hmm. But what happened is long after that was established that was where the border was, the river changed courses. And so there's this one spot where it curved up into Illinois. And so technically, this island, it's not really an island. Yeah, technically it's in Illinois, but it's on the Indiana side of the river because the river changed courses. And so they said, hey, so we can book this event in Indiana and people from don't have to cross the river to get there, but it's in Illinois. And the people in Illinois.
And at that time, they didn't have bridges, so they couldn't do it across the river. You know, bridges hadn't been invented yet. Right? Yeah. You don't want 55,000 people swimming across a river.
Yeah, you don't want that. It's chaos. So they said, okay, well, we're going to put it here. And so they contacted the owner of the land and they agreed to it. The owner was like, well, we'll rent it out. But they were smart at this point.
Yeah.
They said,
it's like, what are you doing out there? Oh, it's a family reunion. That's what I've been told if you're planning a wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they charge you less.
One of my friends is in a wedding band, and he says that as soon as they hear the word wedding, like they charge like $4,000. But if they'll play for like a, you know, get together, a family reunion, it's like $1,500.
Yeah, it's a family reunion. Some people are going to get like legally connected for life there, but I mean.
Hey, some fancy people are going to kiss on that end, but that's like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
10 minutes of the thing.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But Tom and Bob got smart. And so they said, look, everybody's against us. The whole world's against us. You know, this is what the Lord told us was going to happen. We were going to be persecuted.
We're going to walk around Indiana 7 times and then they're going to let us do this music festival.
No. So they said, we aren't going to announce where this is happening until the weekend of the event because they won't have enough time to organize and stop it at that point. And so they were like, so they waited, and here's Labor Day weekend, the weekend of the event.
Yeah.
And they're setting up on Bull Island. And meanwhile, they had taken out ads in the local Chicago radio station and a full-page ad in the Rolling Stone. And so people from all over the Midwest are hearing this ad because this radio station was a prominent radio station that had a range to cover multiple states. And now people all over the Midwest are saying, that sounds cool. There's a lot of bands I like.
And I mean, like, what else am I going to do? You know?
I've got one TV channel and one radio channel.
And one wife that I hate. So I would just leave her here, you know? And I will... That was still a time where you could leave your family and never talk to them again.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah. I miss it. You know?
You weren't alive.
No, but I mean, like, I miss the ability.
I miss the idea.
I miss the idea of being able to go. You know? I feel pretty trapped.
I wish I could disappear.
I don't know. Yeah. I was talking to my counselor last night. And just like, really? What if I like slipped out a podcast host?
Yeah.
Now that we've ever been in any kind of like, we're not like... And just like, Tim, I feel trapped. You know?
I can't. Anyway, can't escape.
I miss the times when. Oh my gosh, you're right. Yeah. His dumb laptop. Careful,
you're going to unplug it. It's our brand. I can't get it.
Plugged in. Hey, don't yank that out of my hand. You're going to break it.
You're gonna unplug this. The battery's going to die. It's going to ruin the episode. Okay, get out of here.
Hey, thanks for being here for Things I Learned Last Night. If you want bonus content, early access to episodes, and a whole lot more, including a Discord channel, we have that available to our Patreon supporters. To sign up for that and for more info, text Tillin to 66866.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
So the weekend
people
rolls around.
People are just going from everywhere.
People are start coming, and everybody thinks the event is still in Chandler at that racetrack because they haven't announced that it's changed yet.
Wait, is the ad in Rolling Stone and all that?
Yeah.
Says Chandler.
Yeah, because they booked it before Chandler blocked them.
Oh, I thought you were saying that the new advertisement said it was at this place.
No, they have not announced where it's at.
Now, that's a funny thing we could do, is we could just do a fake festival and flood Mount Vernon, Missouri with just a ton of hairy hippies. You know what I'm saying? Just...
And they're just walking around being like, hey, where's the festival? And everyone's like, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought you were saying that people in Mount Vernon didn't understand what they were saying. They were like, where's the festival?
Are you speaking English?
What was that? Where's the festival? You're going to have to slow this down. What was that? I really thought that's what you were saying. Okay. I don't know why. I was like, listen, we're not going to make fun of Mount Vernon. It's still my hometown. Come on. But we should do that. We should flood a town.
That's really funny.
With just an insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Petition your town in the comments. Let us know if you want whatever gets the most votes.
Yeah. Where do you, it's like how people will like SWAT Twitch streamers. We should festival a town. We should just.
Yeah, my town got festivaled like 3 years ago.
Bro, this is seriously like the new thing that's going to happen on TikTok. I'm telling you right now that we're just going to put out advertisements for massive festivals. We're going to promote a festival and people are just going to show up, dude. That's hilarious. Write it down. I don't know where. But even funny. Fake type. Fake type. And thank you for writing it down. That's I'm seriously, when I'm telling you, I think this is a really funny idea.
I think it's hilarious.
We should do it. So people show up in Chandler.
Yeah, people show up in Chandler.
55,000.
Yeah, 55,000 people show up in Chandler. Here's the thing. Chandler realized at this point, they said, oh, we canceled this event and these people are still here. And there's now there's no event. And they're like,
so they hired a puppeteer. We got to entertain these people.
Like, yeah, there's that one guy who like plays the flute. Can he just kind of like hang out in the park? And
yeah, there's some dude from my high school who says he's a comedian. He could come do it.
So, so literally like the weekend rolls in, and as everybody's coming in, they're flooding Chandler and the neighboring towns.
And Tom and Bob are riding around in a pickup truck. We moved it. It's follow us.
The event is not here.
But how do you, are you trying to corral that crowd somewhere else?
No,
or
so
you,
they took out a new radio ad and they said, hey, the Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival has moved to Bull Island. Here's how you get there.
How far away is that?
I don't know how far it was. And so everybody,
3.5 hours.
I don't think it was that far. I think it was probably an hour away. You know, it's relatively close to where they were. But I don't know exactly where. And so now all these people are like, oh, sweet. Cool. Let's go over there. So they're
asking their Airbnb hosts, how do we get to,
is there any way we paid for like the whole weekend, but can we get out early? Can we get an early checkout?
Come on, look at me. Okay. I know you're charging a big cleaning fee to keep your rate down. Okay. $45 rate, but a $70 cleaning fee. Come on. You think we're dumb?
We see through you.
We see right through you.
Yeah. Most of them actually just slept in the town park. So
that makes a lot of sense. That's why they didn't want them there. Golly.
So they all leave. Here's what happened.
Thanks for your hospitality. We still trashed your town.
So here's what happened. They were estimating a crowd of 55,000 because that's how many tickets they sold.
Right.
But there was also a bunch of people who showed up to buy tickets at the door.
Oh no.
And estimates say that the crowd that showed up ended up being somewhere between 250,000 and 400,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
So this event was planned for 55,000 people. And on the bare minimum, five times that showed up. So to say they were unprepared for what happened is an understatement.
We gotta get more ice cream. We don't have enough ice cream for these people.
This ice cream social is going to fall apart fast.
It's going to melt before we get to the end of the line. All right.
So, speaking of lines.
But you know what happened?
Yeah.
And this is a true story, actually. It happened on Bull Island. Okay. Is that there was a boy there who had a basket of fish and bread. You with me?
Keep going. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. And all of those people walked away fed.
Fed.
Full. And they had leftovers.
Oh my gosh. How?
Isn't that the mystery?
All right. Yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Speaking of mysteries, I want to shout out a review real quick. Here's a review. Someone said, hey man, have you ever heard of Tillin? Because it's awesome. Except seriously, don't listen to this at your job without headphones. Tim's laugh is that of a beautiful honking goose or parrot, some kind of bird. It's honestly nice. The best. Always makes me laugh, but my coworkers don't like it. I may know from experience. So listen to me on full volume at work.
Hey, thanks for watching that. And to your coworkers that left 1-star reviews. Thanks, guys. What if that's what someone did? Someone was like, my coworker listens to this annoying podcast every day. So now I follow what if you follow it out of vengeance?
Yeah.
Because you're annoyed. The podcast. Okay. And I leave a 1-star review and I downvote every episode.
Everything.
I followed the guy to his house once. And you're like, wait, what? I followed him to his house.
So here you said line. This event, the location they chose had two roads leading in and out of it. And so traffic was backed up for 20 miles coming into Bull Island. And it was so bad that most of the concert goers ended up just saying, screw it, we'll walk.
Oh.
And so they just pulled over into the shoulders. And I
walked,
kid you not,
20 miles?
I kid you not. Cars were lined up on the shoulder, 6-7 cars deep down into the ditch for miles. Because people were just like, this traffic isn't going in the median, in the ditch, on the highway, into Bull Island. Everybody's just always like, yeah, I give up, I'm walking. And they just rolled in. It's the eeriest thing of the Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival.
I thought you were going to go with, dude, people were so backed up in traffic that people started looking at the housing market there. And I was like, I guess we live here now.
I guess we you live know, here
I'm
now.
I'm never going to get my car out.
My car stays.
There's 400,000 people here. We are a new town.
That's how
towns form.
That's how it starts. It all starts like this.
Bro, can you imagine if 250,000 people showed up in Mount Vernon, Missouri?
Look at that. And they just left them there for the whole weekend, for all of Labor Day weekend. They just ditched them.
And like, that's a time where car alarms weren't really a thing. You know, if you forgot where you parked,
there was nothing on the highway.
Hey, where did I park? Oh, mile marker 162. Got it. Okay. Remember that. Remember that, guys. Guys, remember that. Mile marker 162. And then at the end of the weekend, one of them's like, oh gosh, it had two in it.
It had a two. It wasn't two, it was three. I'm telling you.
Okay, Candace, whatever. All right. It wasn't even my idea to come out here anyway.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to this festival. It's got a weird name.
The ice cream social was even. Like, I imagine just annoying festival faces. Girls are still there in the 70s.
So they get there, and the show starts, bands start playing, but concertgoers started to realize pretty quickly that this wasn't what they expected. Probably the first realization was the bathroom situation.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you plan for 50,
yeah. 000, so I mean, at the Chandler
still
Raceway,
a good amount of
they
bathrooms.
Had built 50 toilets, right? That they were playing on music. But
one
this was
toilet for every 1,000 people. That's the original plan.
That was the original plan. Yeah, and so they had built the 50, and they were relatively prepared at the Chandler Raceway. Well, here's the thing: they moved this. They pivoted. Weeks,
yeah, but they're next to a river.
So they had 6 toilets for 250,000 people on this whole swap of land.
And one of them was reserved for the bands.
Yeah, you actually might be right. And so what
it's in their rider. They have their own bathroom.
They have their own bathrooms. So what ended up happening is people just found an area on the edge of the island that became this massive public field bathroom, and it earned itself the nickname the Turd Fields because that's what it became. It was just like a swamp of human excrement, and they called it the Turd Fields.
You know.
And that's when people started to realize this isn't going to be good.
Something's off about this place.
But they,
we had to walk 7 miles.
Yeah. What's ironic about it is the road leading in, that road was literally finished that week in construction, 'cause they had built like a logging operation there.
They just opened
they
it.
They literally just built that road and it's already just,
and the festival was like, it's closed now.
Start over.
People are pooping on it. What do you think about that, guys?
Yeah. You like this road? It's now the Turd Fields.
The Turd Curb, if you will.
So as the festival starts to roll out,
you drink more water.
A lot of the big name artists on the festival start dropping off because two reasons. One,
bus couldn't make it.
Yeah, well, probably actually.
They're like, we're not going to carry the drum set 7 miles.
But probably the biggest one being the bigger bands were like, hey, you're paying us for 50,000 people and there's 250,000 here. You need to pay us more. And when the promoters couldn't, they were like, all right, we're not coming.
Wait, they couldn't? Why couldn't they?
Well, because...
Did they not get revenue from these extra people?
I mean, they probably could, but they're greedy. I don't know. I don't know why, but they just didn't.
They just were like, we would rather you just not play.
My guess is that they actually couldn't. I'll bet that this was a... I bet they took a big loss on this moving. I mean, they had a bunch of extra people show up, but moving, they essentially spent twice.
Do you know how much they charge for tickets?
$20 to $25.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty pricey back then.
I know, but I'm looking at the numbers of like, I don't know.
I mean, they probably had a lot come in.
You think they were just breaking even, maybe?
I don't know, because they spent $700,000 before they moved it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I haven't done the math, but for whatever reason, they declined to pay these people when they wanted the increase. And so that frustrated a lot of the concert goers, because all of a sudden there was just massive time slots of the event that were just an empty stage. And there was one stage because this was early festival. And so here's 250,000 people just staring at an empty stage for what is going to be a 50-minute set. And
they didn't have phones. You know, they couldn't they couldn't play Candy Crush.
Yeah, all they could do is just stare at each other's heads, the back of each other's heads. That's what they did back then when
everyone stared the same direction. What do the people in the front row look at?
They're just an empty stage.
You broke way too early. He didn't even get all the way cycled through the angles.
So this is starting to go downhill really quickly.
Yeah.
Well, the other issue, another big issue, was the food situation. They had booked one.
Was meal included in their ticket?
No, it was extra. You had to pay for it. But they had booked one caterer for the event, Reese Catering, who expected to cook for 50,000 people.
And then they were like, you got to pay us more. They were like, no can do.
So Reese Catering brought a couple mobile food trucks with them, but they pretty quickly couldn't keep up with the demand.
What were food trucks like in the 70s? Were they serving like hamburgers and stuff? Or were they like, because in my mind, they're serving like home cooked meals. Like they're out there just like, we got a meatloaf truck, you know?
No, it's burgers and fries.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. They couldn't keep up with it. With the demand. And so they had to raise prices because they're like, we don't have enough supply for how many people are here. This is a supply and demand issue, you know? And so they're like, we have to raise our prices or else we're going to get sold out 2 hours into this event.
$200 hamburger fries.
Well, yeah, they were charging $10 for a hamburger and fries, which is equivalent to $63 today. And so needless to say, at this point, the event goers have had enough.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
I know, like, if I could get my car out, I would leave.
So they end up storming the Reese catering trucks.
Oh, no.
And stealing all of the food and just distributing it to the people. It was a full just takeover, a hostile takeover.
And everyone had
Reese
plenty.
Catering truck. Everybody was
handing out raw hamburger meat. Like, we stormed the truck, we got it. And people were like, thanks, I guess. Like,
I think that's what happened. And so this is kind of the moment where it just starts to decline into absolute disaster.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Because how long? It's supposed to be a three-day festival?
It's a three-day festival. This is like day two.
And people were supposed to sleep outside, right?
Yeah, they were supposed to bring their own tents. And so they're sleeping in the turd flats with their tents. Tents in the turd flats. And
turd flat tents.
Turd flat tents. Their car is somewhere 20 miles down the highway. And their favorite band isn't showing up anymore. There's no food. There's no running water. People are bathing in the river. And it's an absolute disaster. And to make matters even worse, Illinois, who had jurisdiction in the area, had to go around to the nearest bridge to cross into to get there. They only had three sheriffs that they could get into this thing for 200,000 people. And so they didn't have a chance. The sheriffs, they couldn't police this situation. It was a lawless world. Drugs were openly being sold. There was a market that opened up where they literally set up like booths.
There was a drug truck that rolled up. You know, it was like, we saw that you guys ran out of the food truck, didn't work out, but I mean,
we got drugs. Yeah. So they were openly selling drugs and it was
$10.
It was so open that the promoters between sets would come out and announce the people that they shouldn't buy drugs from because it was laced with other stuff.
Hey guys, don't get it from that booth. Get it from this booth over here. And now enjoy 50 minutes of silence.
A moment followed of silence for the doors who aren't going to be here.
Followed by another moment of silence.
But we appreciate you giving us your money. Thank you so much for this festival's huge success.
Going great.
Golly, guys. God bless America.
God bless America. Erie Canal Soda Pop.
Ice cream. So I try to get a chant going. Ice cream social. Ice cream. And it's like too many syllables to chant.
So a lot of people start ditching. A lot of people are like, obviously, I'm walking back to the car. But there's some diehards who are like, I'm sticking around to the end of this. I want to see the whole show.
I want to see it through.
Here's the thing. They're not eating. They're not really bathing. They don't have, they're not getting a good night's sleep. They are walking through a swamp to go to the bathroom. And it's just, it's the worst conditions you can imagine.
Yeah.
And so these people start to get insane. And they're high. They're very high.
In 3 days. They've lost their minds.
They are, yeah. And so late on the second day, a group, a hungry group of people, find a cow roaming the pastures, and they decide to slaughter it. And so these people slaughter the cow, and they attempted to cook it, but they did not succeed. And so they left this carcass just in the middle of the event, half cooked, just boiling in the summer sun.
So now you just got rotten meat.
Yeah, just chilling in the middle of the event. And you know those people were like, guys, look, we got a cow, we got food. And then they couldn't cook it.
This and feels like what youth pastors have nightmares about camp, guys. They're just like, they wake up in the middle of the night and they're like, rotten cow.
They killed the cow. Sends a parent email home. Hey, your child.
Your kid killed a cow.
Killed a cow.
That's the subject line. Kid killed cow.
Kid killed cow. But cows with a K.
Yeah.
It's the alliteration. Youth pastors love alliteration.
They love that stuff. Kid killed cow. You open that email. I mean, like, you know, you got to go pick up your kid from camp then.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you definitely pick up. He's like,
the local headline is cow killed at camp.
But he ends the email on a lighthearted note because youth pastors got to do that. They're like, well, I guess he grabbed the bull by the horns, right?
Ew. I love the initiative that your kid showed, you know. He's going to be a great leader one day.
He's going to be a great leader. And so the antsiness just keeps taking it to another level.
It gets worse?
Yeah, so eventually they come together and a group of them go back and to like the Reese catering trucks. And
like
those 3 police
officers are like over there like, no.
Like, hey, stop what you're doing.
Please.
Don't kill the cow.
Guys. Stop. You know, like they can't do anything about it.
They can't. And so eventually a group goes back to the Reese catering trucks. There's 3 of them. And they push them together and catch them on fire and build like this giant bonfire of catering trucks. And this truck burned. The trucks burned through the night. This bonfire was burning through the night.
Those trucks burned for 7 full days. It was a miracle.
A guy walking near him, he heard God speak from the trucks, and he made him take his shoes off. Then he was like, hey God, he's like, I take my shoes off, but I don't know if you've seen the floor here. He's like, there's turds everywhere.
Ground.
It's like, oh, okay.
It was just one of the attendees who was really high, just sitting in the fire. Just sitting inside the fire. He's like, take off your shoes. Everybody who walked by.
Take your shoes off. Like, doesn't even know the Bible story.
Okay, you probably should get out of the fire, dude.
Take your shoes off. Dude, that's what I'm going to tell people. I'm going to sit. Dude, I'm going to do this all the time, man. I'm going to be at the airport. I'm going to stare someone down. And they're like, can I help you? Take your shoes. Take your shoes off. Imagine how weird that would be.
You have to comply. You have to. Start, I mean, oh, you all right.
What happens if you don't? I think it'd be worse if you did. You
do
know?
Do you want this?
Hey, thanks for being here. We've got merchandise. It's a way to support the show and help us do more stuff, buy new equipment, reach more people. If you like what we're doing and want to help us do that more, please consider doing that. If you want a link to that, all of that's going to be sent to you if you just text Tillin to 66866. I'll tell you, it's not a thing where we're going to text you a lot. It's not a text service. We're not going to like send you more than more. It's just a way for you to get a link. It's one text. That's all we're going to send. I promise you.
So yeah, so this thing just burnt, like
burnt.
It just burnt.
The cops were like, "We're out of here."
The cops are like, "Yeah, we're just gonna leave. We'll come back."
I have
later.
A wife and kids. I can't do this.
So yes, yeah, so they leave. Third day, the event goes on. Most of the people have left by this point.
Yeah, when they result, it's like a rotten cow in the middle and three trucks on fire. I'm like, yeah, it's probably not.
It's literally just
don't hold your breath on a refund. I don't think we're getting it. I think we should just cut our losses and go.
It's literally,
I hear Chandler's a really nice town. I think we should go just hang out in town and visit. And honestly, it's Sunday. Maybe we can go to church.
Maybe we can.
Because we freaking need it. I don't.
So there's only a few thousand people left at this point. And it's all the anarchists. It's the people who
Yeah, the people who were like, oh, yeah, there's more people who showed up because they heard about the burning trucks. They were like, oh, that's what they're doing out there? Oh, I'll definitely go to that.
The last few artists end up dropping from the show. And so
yeah.
It was like the next day, two bands played and then nobody played for the rest of the day.
And it was two that no one had heard of. It was just like the local bands who were like, yeah, we got a show.
Yeah, we got a show coming up. You should come. We're playing Warped Tour.
we're going to drink Monster Waters.
Monster Water. So these people stick around for the last bit of the show. And then when the last artist played before the opening, the end of the, it was not supposed to be the end, but everybody knew it was the end because there's no bands left. They stormed the stage and just ripped it to shreds.
During the set?
No, right at the end of it. So the guy finishes. He's like, thanks. Thanks, Erie Canal, Soda Pop Festival.
Ice Cream Social.
Yeah, watch your feet on the way out. Don't step in the turds. Yeah. See you later. And then he like walks up the stage and they just storm the stage and they just rip it apart. They end up setting that thing on fire too.
Obviously. So then they got to use all that money for damages.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, after partying on this burning stage for a little bit, the rest of the people leave, only to find that all of the cars that were parked on the highway had gotten towed, which is pretty much everybody. Because they had 3 days of tow trucks to just be like, well, I guess we've got 72 hours to just go up and down and tow all these cars. And so they were just making rounds, towing every car. And so
that's hilarious.
They described it as like a liberation event because what would happen is somebody would have a car, like they would have parked somewhere else, not right off the highway or whatever. Yeah. So they didn't get towed. And so they would literally be driving 40 people into town. And so they'd be like piled onto, it's like the end of like a war, like where everybody's piling on to one car and like hanging out of it. And there's just like this picture of all these people just rolling back into town from the Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival.
And the people in Chandler saw this happen. They were like, we were right to.
They're like, yeah, it's a good thing. Good thing we didn't let that happen here.
We didn't want any of our cows burned.
Yeah, we didn't want. They burnt down our cows. Let's talk a little bit about the aftermath.
Okay.
A few things happened here. Obviously, there was a massive mess that they had to clean up. Obviously, there was the dead cow. The new road was pretty much destroyed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much destroyed. The turd fields were a public health nightmare, to say the least. and so they ended up facing numerous lawsuits from the owner of the island. But also,
he was like, guys, you said you were cool. I like
you guys said
here.
This was a family reunion. We got a big family.
Y'all got a messed up family.
Hey, don't hate on our family, man. The IRS, the state of Illinois, and the state of Indiana, and all the vendors of the event, and the court ended up finding them several thousands of dollars.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Just $7,000.
Several.
Yeah, but I mean, what, hundred thousands of dollars?
No, several thousands.
Really?
Several thousands. Yeah. So, I mean, they pretty much got off scot-free for all this. Yeah.
What? Are you serious?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
What, they get like, they're like, oh, man, that cost us 12 grand? Oh, no. Yeah.
In How an much interview
you, okay.
in 2012, Bob Alexander, he told the press, he said, it had the possibility of being one of the greatest festivals ever.
Yeah.
Which is true of any festival that's planned. it had the possibility.
Think of one in your head right now.
Okay.
Think about all the bands that could play there.
Yeah.
That's possibly the best festival ever.
Best ever. Possibly. And he said, I think the mere fact that we're talking about this 40 years later says something about it as a major cultural event. And he said, you know, I'd love to try it again in the same location. So he didn't learn his lesson.
Yeah.
The owner of the site ended up, instead of trying to clean it up, he just bulldozed the land and buried everything there. he's like, this isn't.
Literally sweep it under the rug.
He's like, he hired a cleaning crew, a $70 cleaning fee. And he was like, yeah, forget that. I'm just going to bury the whole island.
Wait, the island's called Bull Island?
Yeah.
You know what's eerie about Bull Island? Is that it's haunted by a bull. And that, if you listen at night, you can hear him go.
Is that a bull sound?
Shut up. Take your shoes off. You didn't let me get my joke.
Is that not the joke?
No, that was. I was mad at you the first time. I was mad that you interrupted me the first time. You were like, is that what bulls sound like? Shut up, Tim.
Take your shoes off.
Oh, don't. Oh, you thought it was did so
he,
funny, huh?
Did he get it from the fire guy? Or is that where Fire Festival got their name?
Fire Festival. We're going to burn some cows. Cow tipping is what poor people do. We elites burn them.
Have you ever been to a festival like that where it like just kind of fell apart?
No.
Really?
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't ever tell you that story.
No.
It was like Heaven Fest, like 2011, which was like a Christian music festival in Colorado.
Oh, I assumed. Heaven Fest.
Yeah, Heaven Fest. And the great thing about Heaven Fest was, I mean, it was your stereotypical Christian music festival. It was free every
Skillet.
Year. Skillet.
Yep. Hawk Nelson.
Yep.
Toby Mac.
Yep. Yep. 10th, really? 10th Avenue North.
10th Ave. Oh, man. 10th Ave. And then Crowder.
Yep. Crowder. Obviously. Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Crowder, that Michael was when Lee he was Smith. Playing with his Guitar Hero controller.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
But in like 2009, they had an idea because there was this other tour that was like, it was like a mini festival called Scream the Prayer, which I don't know if you've ever heard of Scream the Prayer.
No.
But it was the best thing in the world because like 2008,
metal.
That was when youth group metal was a thing.
Yeah.
Where like there was just a massive church metal scene and it was awesome. And that scene was interesting because there was a lot of overlap because a lot of people who weren't in the church liked those church bands.
Yeah.
And they would end up going to these church shows just to see these church bands that they liked. Well, Scream the Prayer was coming through Denver the same day as Heaven Fest. And so Heaven Fest was like, hey, what if you guys just did it at Heaven Fest? And so they set up a Scream the Prayer stage in 2009, and it was a huge hit. And so then in 2010, they did it again, and it was also a huge hit. Well, after 2010, Scream the Prayer stopped happening. So
they tried to book metal bands.
So Heaven Fest was like, we're going to book some. And so they actually did.
They're like, have you heard of this great Christian band called Slipknot? I mean, we think that they're going to really, the Scream the Prayer tent is going to be pretty great. We just booked them. I don't know. They're an up and coming band.
Yeah. It's like their name, it stands for that three chord.
Yeah.
Rope, whatever, you know, I mean, it's not the easily Trinity. Broken. Not easily broken.
Yeah.
Anyways. so they booked this event and they booked, a few pretty good bands. They booked My Children, My Bride, Sleeping Giant, and Under Oath. Those were like the big name ones. There was a couple others that were like, ancillary, metalcore bands. Like Brian Head Welch, he was newly Christian.
Yeah, that's right. So we love a good testimony.
Yeah, and then there was White Collar Sideshow. And so those were like, they kind of related, sort of, but not really. So they booked this event. It's a free show. And there's...
Heavenfest is completely free.
Completely free.
Okay.
And so it brought the Denver metal scene out of the woodworks, man.
Yeah.
And they had booked My Children, My Bride to play at 10 a.m., like first band in one of the stages or whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning, Heavenfest.
Good morning, Denver.
Here's the issue.
Yeah.
They told My Children, My Bride 10 p.m. instead of 10 a.m. So My Children, My Bride at 10 a.m. was in Wyoming.
Great.
And so all these metalheads showed up for My Children, My Bride that early because
yeah,
that's what they
wanted. This is the earliest I've been out of bed in 4 months.
So there's a massive crowd outside the stage, and they obviously don't show up. The promoter comes out and says, hey, My Children, My Bride's not going to make it. Sorry about it. And so we end up finding out on Twitter later that they were in Wyoming and they're on their way.
Were they going to do it that night?
They're going to be there at 10 p.m. is what they thought. The great thing about the way they planned this event is there wasn't another metal band taking the stage until 6 p.m. And that was...
So now you got the Denver metal scene...
is hanging around Stephen Curtis Chapman for like 10 hours. and it was hot, the middle of summer.
The closest thing they got was when Hawk Nelson played Bring Him Out.
Exactly.
And they were like, bring him out! Bring him out!
Yeah, so...
They're like moshing and stuff to freaking Mercy Me. You know? Mercy Mosh at that point is what it was.
So all these dudes are just kind of twiddling their thumbs for hours. And like they saw a White Collar Sideshow and the dude from Korn and it was whatever. but then finally Under Oath takes the stage at 6.
Okay.
And this is when Under Oath was still cool. Like before they did their new stuff.
Right.
But, Aaron wasn't in the band at the time, but he was there doing his solo stuff. And so everybody was like, Aaron's going to come to a guest spot in this show. Like there was no reason to believe that.
Okay.
Other than the fact that he was also there.
He was there.
And so everybody, there was just the rumors that he was going to come out and that was going to be like their encore, you know? And so people were amped. Well, Under Oath takes a stage. These metalheads have been here for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Haven't seen a show they wanted to see yet. It's hot. And it's Under Oath. And so Under Oath takes the stage and oh my gosh. It was one of the funnest pits I've ever been in. Like it was just pandemonium.
Yeah, you love that pit.
It was so fun. Favorite pit. Look at that pit.
I mean, of all the pits I've seen...
And it was just, it was in this field. So it was dusty, there's dirt everywhere. It was so cool. But here's the problem. The Stephen Curtis Chapman fans didn't get it. And there was such an overlap in the church metal scene. Cause like in the church metal bands, there was all these church kids that listened to it, but they'd never been to their show. So they didn't know what that environment was
like. They
didn't
know what metal bands were like.
So when the pit would open up, they would just see this giant gap in the crowd. Oh, look at this. They just waltz in there.
Oh no.
And then the song would hit. And they just get kicked in the face.
And then just
people were getting like I can't count on one hand how many
with
people
the
I
love
saw
of Jesus
out.
They would get yeah, kicked the in the teeth.
Well, actually,
with the
no,
love
most of
Christ.
Those kids weren't Christians. They saw these people and they're like, I'm gonna knock that guy out.
They're like, look at that homeschool kid in the middle with a backpack on.
Literally, I could not.
You
tell
know
you.
That he's got like a backpack full of Nestle Pure Life waters, right? And they're like damp because they're in there, you know, and like the labels are falling off. And he's just got a puddle of water at the bottom of that backpack. And those kids just straight, he's got like, you know, he's got those dumb sunglasses, like the ones you used to wear in college. You remember those white framed ones?
White ones?
He's out there and they just went and kicked him in the teeth.
Yeah, they just,
they're like, what do you think about that, Kevin?
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And so kids start getting kicked out of the show. Security starts kicking the metalheads out of the show.
And then the metalheads start kicking the security people.
No, exactly. It was pandemonium. They cut Under Oath set short.
Oh, no.
And
then they burned the stage down.
That's when it went from good to great. Because after Under Oath, it was, the next band, metal band, wasn't until 10 p.m. That was Sleeping Giant at 10 p.m. And there was this rumor that they were going to let My Children, My Bride play when they get here, which was supposed to be 10 p.m. So it was like Sleeping Giant's going to play, then My Children, My Bride's playing and play. So everybody hangs out for 4 more hours after they cut the set short and kicked everybody's friends out. And everybody's just waiting for Sleeping Giant to come out. And Sleeping Giant's set was, I mean, I thought Under Oath was pandemonium. Sleeping Giant was unbelievable. This kid literally got carted out in a stretcher. Rumor has it he broke his neck. I don't know if that's true.
Rumor has it, huh?
But he got carted out in a stretcher. It was What are the craziest events I had ever been to?
And then the next year they didn't do a screaming.
Yeah, they didn't let him back.
They're like, we're not doing
metal bands. They're like, we're not letting us back to this event.
Do you think that was the death of metal?
Yeah, that was the death of the Christian metal scene. Because that's when all the Christian bands were like, we're not Christian.
August Burns Red was like, we're not a part of that.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. Heaven Fest? Never heard of it. Heaven? Never heard of it. So yeah, it was a disaster, man. It was a disaster. But My Sister, My Bride ended up playing some warehouse in Denver that night. And I, to this day, regret not going to see them because we just went home. It was exhausting. It was such an exhausting day.
We're still doing an episode, right?
So this event failed. I mean, just like Heaven Fest. Here's the thing. The Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival was a lot like Heaven Fest.
It's the ice cream social, which is what our live event would be called whenever we do it this fall. It'll be called the Tillin Ice Cream Social.
The Tillin Freedom Festival and Ice Cream Social.
And we're playing on the Scream the Prayer stage. So the Tillin on the Scream the Prayer stage at the Freedom Festival Ice Cream Social. The poster's ridiculously large.
Yeah, everyone's like, man, this must be a big event. Look at all those words.
Tillin Studios presents. We're doing it. Oh, wow. Man. Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
I guess you don't want to hear my story anymore. Hey, okay, whatever, man.
Join our Discord by joining our Patreon, which is you can text Tillin to 66666.
Yeah.
And in the Discord is how we will mobilize you to take over Mount Vernon, Missouri. I'm so serious about that idea. That's really funny. And we just show up in Mount Vernon, Missouri, and we just start chanting, fiddle off, fiddle off, fiddle off.